Our scripture reading this morning will come from the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6. And as Elder Dysings mentioned earlier, our last sermon in our series on the book of Galatians, and our focus will be on those last three verses of Galatians 6, but I am going to read by way of context for our scripture reading, beginning at verse 11 of Galatians 6. But our focus this morning will be on verses 16 through 18, the remaining verses of Galatians. But let's begin at verse 11, Galatians 6, verse 11. And let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in the book of Galatians. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins is an insert of an outline of this morning's message. I encourage you to have that with you as you follow along this morning. Congregation of our Lord Jesus, as we come to the end of the year 2012, the headlines have been dominated on whether our nation will go over the fiscal cliff. Will the government reach a budget deal? And if they don't, what does that mean for our nation and for our lives? Yesterday at prayer meeting, the men were discussing this, even locally, the impact of defense cuts and what that may do for the job or the area of work in which they have, and how it may even affect us locally. What trouble is ahead for the nation? What trouble is ahead in the next year for us as Christians? And so it seems appropriate that as we conclude our series on Galatians, we conclude not only the Galatian series, but a year with a benediction. A benediction that we see in the book of Galatians and that Paul includes in all of his letters, a final departing blessing and instructions. Now you know what a benediction is because each Sunday as the worship service concludes, preachers and this preacher puts up his hands on behalf of the Lord and offers the benediction and the blessing patterned after Paul's benedictions in his letters. And so as we think this morning of the benediction to the Galatians and the instructions that the apostle has for his readers, these are also final instructions for us as we go on further in our lives and in a new year. Now, as we look at this benediction this morning, some of you might be thinking, what can we possibly learn from these final three verses? Perhaps as you've read the letters of Paul on your own in your personal reading, when you get to the end of a letter and you see the final points that the apostle is making, typically you've skipped over them as if they're not about you. Typically, when the apostle concludes one of his letters, you'll see things like travel plans, when he's planning to come to visit the church he writes to, Or perhaps you'll see him offering greetings to specific people in that church that he wants to single out and offer a special greeting. Or perhaps at the end of a letter, you'll see prayer requests and asking the church he writes to pray for people that are with him. In Galatians, we see none of those things mentioned. Instead, what we see are three particular verses of importance as he emphasizes his final points of the letter to them once again. And so this morning, in verses that maybe in your casual reading you might skip over, we're going to look carefully at these words and these verses and see what his final words and departing blessing is to the Galatians and how it singles out and summarizes his message. In fact, in the book of Galatians this morning, we can see in these three verses the entire message of the letter summed up as a whole. And so this morning, as we approach this benediction, and as we deal with only three verses, it is key for us to see not only what is usual about these verses in these benedictions of Paul, but what is also unusual. And when we understand what is unusual, we will understand the specific points the Apostle Paul wants to make to his readers. And as we look at these last three verses and the benediction, you can see that there are really two points that the Apostle is making in his benediction. One is concerning his blessing of peace, the peace benediction, and the other is the grace benediction, verse 18. Both of these are part of the benediction. But what is interesting about the Galatian benediction is that it includes a peace and grace part to it. Not all of Paul's letters end with peace. All of Paul's letters, the 13 in the New Testament, end with grace. But only six of the letters end with a peace benediction along with the grace. And so this morning on your outlines, what I've laid out for you in A and B is the contrast between usual peace benedictions and unusual peace benedictions. As we look at this benediction in Galatians, we see in particular in verse 16 that there are things about this benediction which are typical of all six peace benedictions in Paul's letters. One of those common usual things is a connecting word, and we see it in verse 16 when he starts out with "and," a connecting word which connects his benediction with what he has just said. And we'll look at that in a moment. A second thing that is usual of a peace benediction in all six of them is the wishing of peace. A third thing that is common is the mentioning of the source of that peace. May the peace of God be with you. We see both of those things here in verse 16. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace. There you see it. The peace benediction. And what is the source of that peace? In so many of Paul's letters, he describes it as the God of peace, or the source of that peace is God the Father. And we see it implied at the end of verse 16 when he calls the people the Israel of God. The peace is upon the Israel of God, God's people. And it implies that the source of that peace that he pronounces is from God. And the fourth thing that is typical of a usual peace benediction of Paul is the recipient of that peace is mentioned, and you see it there at the end of verse 16. That peace is upon who? The Israel of God. Those four things are typical of benedictions of the Apostle Paul. A connective word, a wish for peace, the source of the peace is mentioned, and the recipient as to who will receive that peace of God is listed. You find that in Galatians, and you find that in the other five letters. But now as you look at point B in your outlines, we also need to take a look then about what is unusual about this peace benediction. And as we look at what is unusual, we can see how the apostle has carefully crafted this benediction around his message that he departs with for them, and the message which summarizes the message of his book. So let's look carefully then at the first thing that is unusual about this peace benediction. You notice it starts out in verse 16 with this: "And as for all who walk by this rule." Now, what rule is he talking about here? There seems to be, as he lays it out here, an indication that not everyone is going to receive this peace. "The peace of God be upon you," sometimes Paul will end. And that implies that all his readers will receive this peace. But in verse 16, he sort of gives what some might call a condition to that peace, meaning it's not for everyone. "And as for all who walk by this rule," what? Peace. It's for those who walk by the rule. And what is that rule then that brings about God's peace? Well, we mentioned in part A of your outlines that there is a connective word. And that connective word, verse 16, is "and" in the English and "chi" in the Greek. And what that does is it connects the rule by which Paul is speaking of with what he has just said. Now, in the previous verses, which we read a moment ago for our scripture reading, we noted that there was a contrast, you see, between the two ways in which people are walking. One way is found in verse 12. "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." You see, there are some in Galatia who want to boast in the flesh. There are some who want to boast about what they have done before God to be made right and worthy of salvation. There are those who want to say, "Yes, you believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, but you also need to be circumcised. And if you're circumcised, then you will be saved. There's a work of the flesh that you must do." And they even boast, we're told in the next verse, about those who they told had to be circumcised. You see? Look at he goes on in verse 13. "For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." So the one way that people are walking, the rule of life, the walk that he speaks of, is a boasting in the flesh for their salvation. Paul states in verse 16 with the "and," "And as for all who walk by this rule." Well, what rule? It's not the boasting of the flesh. Verse 14. "But far be it from me to boast except in" what? "In the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." What Paul is speaking of is the rule of not boasting in your flesh, but boasting in the cross of Christ. That your hope for salvation is in what Christ did alone on the cross. That your hope in salvation is dying to the world and the desires of the world and the things in the world that you hope to obtain, to boast yourself, and identifying only in what Jesus did for you on the cross. And Paul states, "And all those, as for those who walk by this rule, who boast in the Christ of Christ alone, peace." If you boast in the flesh, you will not have God's peace. If you boast in the cross of Christ, because he did it all on the cross, you will have God's peace. And notice how he, again, unusually, adds the word mercy. Not just peace, but peace and mercy. Now remember the source of the peace and the mercy. The source, we're told, is implied at the end of verse 16, upon the Israel of God. God the Father, God's people become his covenant people. They are the Israel of God. And thus the peace spoken of is an eternal peace. If you walk in the rule of the cross of Christ, you have the peace of God. No longer do you come to the Old Testament temple with its holy place where no one, or the Holy of Holies and the holy place, and with your offering and your sacrifice for the animal's blood to be shed because you're a sinner and need to be made right and forgiven of your sins. No longer does a sinner have to think about going to the priest and waiting for the priest to come out after the sacrifice and pronounce God's peace. Jesus Christ now has done it once for all. He was the Passover lamb. His blood was shed. His blood took away the sins of his people. And in his death and resurrection, you have peace with God. If you boast in the flesh, you do not have peace. Paul has written repeatedly throughout this letter of those who are walking by the flesh and the problems that it causes. He mentioned it at the end of verse of chapter 5 when he compares the works of the flesh with the works of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. And he mentions the flesh in terms of its enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions and divisions and envy. All of these things are a result of somebody boasting in their flesh. I'm better than so-and-so because I've been circumcised. I'm better than so-and-so because I'm more Jewish or following those Old Testament laws better than those Gentiles do. No. Paul says that all those who walk by the rule of boasting in the cross of Christ, peace upon you. And then notice what he mentions. Mercy. He adds the word mercy. Now, lest you think he's just throwing in a word and it's just something to quickly read over, be reminded there's something different here. This is not typical of the benedictions of the Apostle Paul. As he concludes adding the word mercy, he does so for a reason. You see, if you are one who walks by the rule of trusting in the cross of Christ, remember what he said in verse 14. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It is not an easy walk. It is a walk in which the world will reject you. It is a walk in which, as you boast in the cross of Christ, the world is not going to understand. It is a walk in which those who are not boasting in that cross may turn against you, or may cause you trouble, may cause you pain and difficulty. And you are in need of the mercy and the benevolence of God. When we have someone in our congregation who falls ill or somebody going through a hard time, sometimes what we'll do as a work or an act of mercy, we'll go and give them a meal or send them a card or show them some mercy and grace on behalf of the Lord. The mercy of God is like that. As you walk, as you boast in the cross of Christ, you have peace with God. It may not be peace on earth as Paul experienced and as he speaks of in verse 17, from now on let no one cause me trouble. Boasting in the cross of Christ is not necessarily peace upon earth. But you're at peace with God. And as you experience trouble and difficulty, the mercy of God, you see. Paul knows that. The mercy of God, the benevolence of God comes upon you, and you're blessed with that mercy which God gives to you as you go through the difficulties that come your way. And so, as the apostle concludes that first, or verse 16, he concludes it with a double preposition for emphasis. And for all those who walk by this rule, that is, boasting in the cross of Christ, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, some have looked at this last word and said, this last description of the recipient, the Israel of God. Can we make too much of that? Because the apostle earlier in the letter speaks of the church of God. And as he speaks of the church of God in Galatians 1, we're reminded that the apostle Paul knows what the church of God is. The New Testament church of God based on the foundation of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. So when the apostle ends his letter by saying, "The peace and mercy be upon the Israel of God," he is using that word unusually for a reason. All through the letter, the apostle has been trying to address this issue in Galatia, that there are Judaizers who claim to believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, but trying to convert the Christians that the apostle preached to in Galatia and came to Christ through his ministry, they're trying to tell them that they need to become Jews, that they need to be circumcised, that they need to follow some Jewish laws, that if they do those things, then they will be the Israel, the Old Testament Israel of God. And Paul concludes in his benediction with that language, that the grace, those who boast in the cross of Christ, walking in his cross, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Jew and Gentile, the Israel of God in the New Testament are those who belong to Jesus Christ. Those who know that he died on the cross and paid for their sins. They are the church of God. They are the people of God. They are the Israel, the covenant people of God. And God's grace and God's peace is upon them, no matter what those Judaizers say to you. You are at peace with God, and his mercy is upon you. But that then brings us to one more unusual thing about the peace benediction. And that's found in verse 17. A verse like this is only found in the book of Galatians in its ending, and it has significance for the entire benediction. From now on, let no one cause me trouble. Why? For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. You see, the apostle throughout this letter has been addressing this issue of circumcision. He mentioned it again at the end of Galatians 6. We saw it in verse 11, in verse 12, and verse 13, as he again is reminding them of what this is all about. The Judaizers want to tell the Galatian Christians, for you to identify to be part of the Israel of God, you need to have the mark of the people of God, the circumcision. And once you're circumcised, you've got the mark and you are part of the people of God. And Paul, you see, is telling us about the mark of those who boast in walking in the cross of Christ. He doesn't mention baptism, which fulfills the circumcision sign for the New Testament, because he does not want baptism to somehow come across as that being like circumcision interpreted by the Judaizers as a work. He mentions the marks that are on his body for walking in the cross of Christ. You see, in verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. And Paul has experienced all kinds of trouble in Galatia and throughout the world as he has preached and proclaimed the gospel. And what is being said about Paul in Galatia, as he's told us previously in the letter, is that don't listen to Paul. He is telling you about a gospel that doesn't include circumcision, and that's not right. Don't listen to Paul. Don't trust his gospel that he preaches and proclaims to you. He's not right. And the people have caused him all kinds of trouble, those Judaizers, in what they've said. But now what does Paul say? From now on, let no one cause me trouble. Let no one doubt that I am walking and boasting in the cross of Christ. Why? Because look at the marks on me. For I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. I have suffered with him. I have identified with his crucifixion. I have died to the world. Paul has been persecuted and beaten and flogged, and certainly he has physical marks upon him which indicate his identification with Jesus who died for him. But what the apostle is saying in this conclusion is, yes, the way forward, you see, may be difficult. The way forward may be for you trouble and pain and persecution. But what you bring upon, what comes upon you, is the marks of Jesus. That you're his. And that you belong to him. Notice how he emphasized again in those previous verses. Verse 15. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. For the Israel of God, for the people who belong to God the Father, circumcision is meaningless. It's all about Christ and what he did. For the person who lives on this earth, who identifies and boasts in the cross of Christ, the marks of Jesus are upon them. As they've given up the world, as they've given up the pleasures of the world, as they've lived their life according to the truth of God's word, they are boasting, not in the flesh, but in the cross of their Savior who died for them. This peace benediction is unusual, but it has a message for the people of Galatia. It has a message for the people here today. As they begin a new year, as you identify with Christ and boast in him, as you walk by his rule, be reminded that God's peace and God's mercy is upon you. Be reminded that you are the New Testament people of God, the church of Jesus Christ. Be reminded that if you bear marks for belonging to the church of God, for boasting in the cross of Christ, you bear those marks of identity with the Savior who died for you. And so, as he concludes with the second part of his benediction, he offers them grace. He pronounces grace, unmerited grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, this first line of the grace benediction is usual. The apostle uses that first line all the way to the last two words. He uses that same benediction in two other letters, the book of Philippians, the book of Philemon. Both end that same way. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. But notice its meaning as it follows the peace in Galatians. As Paul speaks in verse 17 about bearing on your body the marks of Christ, the physical body here on this earth, Paul has bared those marks, and you may have to too. But notice what comes to your soul, to your spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, your soul. That cannot be separated. The grace of our Lord, that is your master, the Lord Jesus. The grace of Jesus, your Savior. The grace of Christ, the anointed Messiah, who alone can pay for your sins. He is with your spirit. And you will find strength in Him and in that grace. It is a grace that comes from heaven. Notice again in verse 14 how that comes to you. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, all three names for Jesus is mentioned, and it comes for boasting in His cross. All three names for Jesus mentioned in verse 18, and that grace comes from all three to your spirit when you boast in His cross. And then as you come to the very end of the letter, there are two words that are unusual for Paul in his grace benediction. The letters of Philemon and Philippians end, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you." But here, as he concludes the letter to the Galatians, he includes "brothers" and "amen." Now you know from the early part of the book of Galatians that the Apostle Paul uses strong language with them. For these Judaizers have come in and taught something different concerning the gospel, and the Apostle Paul begins the letter with a scolding. He admonishes them at the beginning about following another gospel. He declares that anybody who follows that other gospel, let him be accursed. He calls them in chapter 3, "foolish Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? They have fallen, they have disappointed, they have caused him much pain." But at the end of the letter, he calls them brothers. They have professed their faith in the Savior, and he calls them at the end his brothers. He doesn't say, "Well, I don't know if you're saved or not." No. If you have walked by the rule of boasting in the cross of Christ, you are brothers. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And so he concludes his peace benediction, his grace benediction, with an encouragement, with a reminder that they are God's people, that they are his brothers and sisters if they boast in the cross of Christ alone. And he declares it final with his amen. As we reflect upon this benediction, as we prepare ourselves to come to the sacrament, we are reminded of these same things before us on this last Lord's Day of the year. We do not know the challenges that are before us. We do not know decisions that are going to be made and how they will turn out, decisions beyond even our own control. But one thing we do know is that if we walk by the rule of the cross of Christ, God's peace and mercy will be upon us. We will be declared and known as the Israel of God. And though we may bear the marks of Christ in his sufferings, his grace is on our spirit. And no one can take that away from the brothers and sisters of Christ, which those who walk in that cross are. That is Paul's message, and amen to all of that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this benediction and how it reminds us, Lord, of who we are before you. Father, we know that by the flesh we cannot please you. We know that by the flesh we cannot boast in you, but only, Lord, in the cross of our Savior. Lord, help us to examine our lives in terms of whether we are boasting before others, whether we think of ourselves better than others and more faithful to you than others. Grant us a humbleness, Lord, to know it all is of our Savior. And Lord, we rejoice that your peace and mercy is upon us. And even as we live in this world and seek to die to the world, perhaps those marks of our Savior will be on us as well. Give us the hope that your grace is ever with us, that our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is the ruler and director of all our lives, that we are his, and that our souls are safe and secure in his grace. Grant us this focus as we go to this new year, as we remind ourselves through your sacrament that we are yours, both now and forevermore. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.